Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Oh my goodness. Check it out. Welcome back. Love to see you. You know I'm going to say this. You know I'm going to say this because you still continue to be the best podcast guests and listeners ever. You guys rock as viewers. I can't even tell people some of the things that you send me that's happened for you since you watched the show. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to get this right out and straight and correct right away. We have in the room today, Ladara. There we go. The Ladara ladies from Reasonable Doubt. There you go. That's how you get it done. Oh my goodness. So let me introduce you. And now you know Tiffany Yvonne Cox. She's been on the show before. She's rocked the 262 stage. It was incredible. We're still cheering. And your episode is on the Women's Channel. So you got to go look at that. That rocks. And then we have Shannon Kane, our mumager. That's what I'm calling her, mumager. And then we have beautiful Nefertari. I just met her today. So Nefertari Spencer. And all of these women are part of this incredible show, Reasonable Doubt. Now, before we get into digging a little bit, which, yay, you are going to feel like you've beyond yourself, that you've surpassed what it is that you're doing when you came to the show today. You're going to leave here and know that there's a whole world out there to expand into. Because no longer do we do one thing. We do many things well, and it is so fulfilling. So we're just going to give you that. You go, hashtag permission granted to go beyond what you thought was possible. So let's have a conversation, ladies, about, first of all, you have this beautiful synergy. Your energy is all beaming. One of you comes on, you're like, hey. You obviously play together on and off the camera. So how did all, Tiffany, I'll start with you. How did Reasonable Doubt come into your life?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So it came as an audition. We heard about this. It was out in the dailies and the auditions, and it came through my reps. And I auditioned for a lot of roles, including Nefertari's role of Sally. And for me, mine was a unique journey because I auditioned for like 3 or 4 roles. I was pinned for Nef's role, waited 2 weeks, and that was released. And they said, no, you didn't get the part. And I was like, all right, let it be. And then a few days later, I get a call from my reps at like 9 p.m. at night. And they're like, hey, Tiff, so remember you didn't book that one role? There's another role. We think it's a guest star, but we're not sure. She's a lesbian. How do you feel about that? I was like, love is love. Why are we even asking this question now? And that was back in 2021. And so they're like, okay, cool. You got to be approved by the network. Casting and producers liked me, but the network in the studio had to approve you. And so the following day that happened. And therefore, then I received the script. And then in the script, I read that I was playing one of the best friends of our lead and that we were grouped up. We were cracking up because you said it with such confidence, Ladara ladies. And it's actually Ladara.
Okay, guys, just like, in the show, we don't edit. And we don't edit. That's our thing. We're super raw and we're super real with our audience, which is probably why they come and have fun with us. We've had the camera, like the lights behind fall. We're like, keep shooting. So just so you know, pre-show audience, I practiced that. I started with that because I thought, okay, but you know what? I see, that's what happens when you practice the wrong name before the show and then get corrected. You're like, how am I going to get it out? Just like I know you as Tiffany Cox. I'm like, Tiffany Yvonne Cox. Okay. There you go.
It's all good. It's all good. That is, it's not embarrassing. It's just icing on the cake of joy right here. Yeah. But yeah, so I learned that I was going to become one of the Ladera ladies. And why this is significant, because what I thought was just one day of a guest star has turned into a recurring role since 2021. Now we're moving into 2026 and we're about to start filming season 4. And I've had the huge blessing of being paired with Shannon and Neff, masters at their craft, but also have become like significant friends and people in my life. So that's how this came to be for me.
Oh my goodness. And what about you, Shannon? How did this come into your life?
Same. It was an audition. I remember it being very last minute. And I put it on tape at home, as we do now for the self-tapes, and sent it in with just fingers crossed. I was like, this seems like an excellent opportunity. It was a role that I just stepped into seamlessly that was really fun for me to play. And I knew that Kerry Washington was attached. And I was a gigantic fan of Kerry and Ron Love, of course. So I got the call back and my manager let me know, hey, listen, the callback is going to be at this day and this time. And then I would say maybe the night before I got the icing on the cake of joy, saying that Kerry would actually be in the room. So I was like, oh, all right, well, let's do it. Because it's not often where you really get to play in front of your heroes. For me, I've been such a huge fan of her for since she began. I remember back in my high school days watching her in Save the Last Dance and being in some of my favorite movies and being in some of my favorite roles. And so this was such an awesome opportunity. Shortly after, I booked the role, and like Tiffany said, it became such an extraordinary opportunity, not to be able to just play in such extraordinary material, but to have had the gift of such an awesome friendship with such extraordinary women on and off screen, because the banter that you see off screen is also reflected on screen, and we have so much fun with each other no matter what the scene calls for.
Oh my goodness, that sounds beautiful. All right, Miss Reasonable Doubt with the chair, you got it going on. Tell us, I mean, look at you, got the chair. What are you doing on this?
I just tried to set up my office.
No, it's fantastic. I love it. I love it. We should all have chairs. We all need those chairs.
And everybody, when I used to tell you, it would be like my Peloton. That's it. It would just be the corner with shooting into my Peloton. And I'd be like, hey, everybody. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to be more intentional about putting up things that I love and I'm very proud of. So that's a reflection of what you're seeing.
Right? I love it. I love it.
So to answer the question, my process was very similar to these ladies. I auditioned for 5 characters before I got Sally. I auditioned for Jax, Crystal, Autumn. So for Tiffany's role, after I sent in that audition for Tiffany's role, they came back with Sally, and then another role for the first season, who was going to be the victim. She would have just been a guest star, not just them, but it would not have gone past season 1. And same thing. So I was told that to come in prepared for those 2 characters. To be in front of, just like Shannon said, with our creator, Ramla Muhammad. Again, I mean, just like Shannon said, huge fan. Since I did an episode of Scandal and I was a reporter. I'm also a writer. So I followed her as a writer because she has some of the most like iconic Scandal. She had the like Scandal How to Get Away with Murder crossover episode. And that's Ramla. So I have like fangirled out with her, and then of course that's Kerry, and then so it's like, oh my god, this, you know, audition is gonna be with these women. And that's pretty much what happened. Like later that day I got the call that I was on hold for Sally, and you know, it goes through the process of being approved. That's pretty much what happened.
Wow.
I got to meet these lovely ladies day one. It's not changed since day one. It has been phenomenal.
It was wild because on day one, one of our first off, our production team with Ramla Muhammad, Kerry Washington, Simpson Street, Wilmore Productions. Larry Wilmore is just iconic within the world of television. Gosh, he's done so much. And so having him on set, and we had our scene for the pilot episode, and he came up afterwards and he was like, "So you guys don't know each other?" And we're like, "No, this is our first time meeting." And for him, who's watched and created and built TV, built so many hits, for him to say that, it just goes to show, well, one, the beautiful craft that everybody, that they brought us all together, but then as well, our friendship that was truly beginning at that time, because we were kikiing like nobody's business. Neff is a master at improv, and so she would just set us off, and we would just play around with the lines, get into our lines, and then come out of it and play around some more. And I feel like all of us, there was a moment where we were like, oh, that's what we're doing? And then we just started having a ball of a time with one another on set. And truly, if you watch some of these pieces, there's always a little bit of one of us, a little bit of a Shannon, a little bit of a Neff, a little bit of Tiffany that gets to be out there with the beautiful words that Ramla and the rest of the writing team put together.
Wow. Synergy. When it's right. We were talking a little bit before we came on air about the other side of the curtain, I call it, like beyond the camera, about the lives behind. And do you want to share a little bit about that, like what it's like a little bit and what other things you take care of, like children and life, and how does that fit into your career? Tiffany, why don't we start again with you?
Oh, so with me? Oh, sure. I am one of the mothers on the set. And so I have my two baby dragons, as I say. Right now, they're 3 and almost 6 years old. And some other babies that I have as my multi-hyphenate world as an indie filmmaker. I'm so blessed to have this platform and the art of reasonable doubt. And then as well, using that in the fan base to have people watch some of my other work. And currently, I'm about to launch on February 1st. My vertical series called Unexpected Company. It's about 3 women who they have a little staycation, and then they find that there are 3 men in the basement who are having a staycation. Love, surprise, drama, chaos, messiness ensues. And the beautiful thing about this is that I am featuring women. I'm featuring Black women. I'm featuring women over 40 with curves, with history, with life. Single moms navigating what it is just to kind of let go of boundaries and see what happens. So that is one of the many stories I've told, but I have a feature film and other short films. So my world is filled with directing and writing and producing beyond the camera.
Wow. Ooh, messiness. I like that. You had me at messiness. Oh,
my goodness. Yeah, me at men in the basement.
Men in the basement. You're like, okay, so is this a rom-com? Is this a history?
And that's exactly it. Because I love love. I love Black love. I love shows like Harlem, Insecure, and that sort of thing. And we get a little bit of that with the Ladera ladies within Reasonable Doubt, which is a legal drama. And as well, I was like, I get a taste of it in Reasonable Doubt, but how can I build a whole world of this romantic dramedy? Because that's the sort of content I love to watch. And now I want to be a part of it as well.
Goodness, congratulations. And I know that there's lots of congratulations around the room. Nefertari, what's going on with you?
I am also a writer, and I do a lot of the award shows. I write for a lot of the award shows. Currently, I'm writing for the formerly known as SAG Awards, but the Actors Awards, which, you know, I'm like very excited about that. I haven't done this one in since COVID. So it's been some years since I've been back to SAG Awards. So I'm looking forward to that. And also I have made some strides on that side of things. I've been the first woman to be the head writer for the BET Awards, the American Music Awards, and the Soul Train Awards. And
That's huge. That's incredible.
For the for BET Awards and for Soul Train, I was able to bring in other Black women into the fold, because there's not there wasn't too many of us that I would ever get to see, you know, in the room, you know, writing for, you know, this sort of a thing. So I take pride in being able to open up a door, you know, and bring somebody else, usher someone else on in so that they have an opportunity as well. So yeah, that's what's going on with me right now.
That's very cool. That's very cool. It's like bringing your sisters with, I mean, we talk sister all the time over here. We're like, we talk solidarity and we bring in sisters, like, just come on out. That's why the summit that Tiffany was on is called Stand Up, Speak Up and Show Up. Yes, you. Because sometimes there's some sisters over here going, look who's on there. I'm not going. I'm like, did you hear the yes, you part? That's yes, you. And then there's, you know, people, I call them my crone friends, where we've been doing this for a little while. And they're like, ah, oh, it's okay. It's someone else's turn. I'm like, did you hear the yes, you? So get your butt back on stage and tell people how, why, if. And so they're like, okay. All right. And Shannon, how about yourself? Behind the curtain, behind the camera.
I have to say that I love how representation is such a theme with us. And also, I have to add, it's such a theme on our show. I know that I wasn't alone when I walked on set of Reasonable Doubt, and there were so many talented, Black, beautiful people behind the camera and on the camera combined. It has been such a unique and powerful experience, because we all know how powerful representation can be. And these women are experts at that, in what they do. And the way that they create those platforms for other people has always been super inspiring to me. I remember even fangirling over these two and being like, your brains are so beautiful. So beautiful. We would talk about where we think the script would go or what would happen next. And they're just so creative and so proactive in their creation. So it's something I really admire about my ladies. So I'll say that first. And secondly, with speaking of brain power, a lot of my brain power goes to single motherhood. I do have a passion for writing and voiceover and other things outside of being in front of the camera, which have been such a lovely adventure and super fruitful. But things have changed for me a lot in the industry because of what single motherhood calls for. And I've always made it such a priority to be an active part of his life. And it's important for me that he's grounded in a real childhood where he can have familiarity and consistency and routine. And so it's definitely been a balancing act for me, but not without sacrifice. So as we spoke earlier, a lot of times for all of the seasons except for the first, we've had to travel across country to shoot. And so it does take a lot to be away from home and to also handle my business at home and handle my business as Shannon and Chanel on set. It's definitely been a balancing act, but one that's been very informative. I've learned so much on my journey through this show. It has been so consistent. And my son is 9 now, so he's still young. Okay. But it's been a blessing nonetheless to really learn how to balance these things with grace. So that's me.
Well said. You remind me of a lot of my work was planes. We call it, you know, with the top, you know, planes, trains, and automobiles. But my son is 22 now. So just a warning, he's a budding, very cool entrepreneur. I was like, really? Like, do you want to be a dentist? Oh, she's so much easier. God knows it would be less expensive. And there's really a way. No, fashion and art and streetwear and all of that. And I think, and you know, here's me, I go, well, where did that come from? But, you know, when I used to travel and be an entrepreneur, I used to put a little gift on there for their pillow each night because I was so self-consumed with thinking that they would miss me when they went to bed. And I thought, I'm going to nip that in the bud. And so they looked forward to going to bed because there was a gift there for me. And it was just my way of, you know, trying to stay attached. Or I was doing a lot of sales when I was flying and building companies. So I said every time I made a sale, I'd give them $5. Well, he couldn't get me out the door soon enough, you know, with times. I'm like, he's like, you go, Mom, you take care of the family. You go, go, go. And I just send a little message. I was like, you made $10. You made $5. He didn't ask how much the sale was, thank goodness, because his cut would have been that I would have been in trouble. But he was just excited that he made 10, 15, 20 bucks that day. And I remember, I'm like, is this manipulation or is this inspiration? And I'm like, It's inspiration. It's inspiration.
This is where the entrepreneurial mindset came from. Mom, thanks, Ma.
Yeah. Now, yeah, absolutely. So in the world that you live in and the things that you need to balance, what was your entry point? I mean, obviously, my son sat me down at the couch and at 15 years old, he's like, I want to be an entrepreneur. And his entry point was his love for fashion and his love for, and he just, the automatic autopilot was because he lived in a crazy house where we never ate on our kitchen table. No kidding. So, but where was your entry point? Where was that? I'm not giving up. I'm going to hang in here until my dreams come true in this industry. Shannon, I'll start with you.
My entry point after becoming a mother or just from jump from the beginning?
No, so just being in this industry, the entertainment industry or film industry, movie industry, however you want to say it. But, some people went to school. Some people did.
Right.
People followed, had a girl crush. I had a girl crush on Gloria Steinem. Ooh, such a surprise that I would own a women's empowerment party. But where did that come from? Because it's one thing to love something. It's one thing to make it your business.
That's right. That's right. Oh, and it was so specific for me. I actually grew up with a single mother as well. So I was no stranger to that concept. And the upbringing was me and my mom. And she had an intense passion for the cinema, for movies specifically. And I remember being at a very young age, filling out premiere magazines, voting for who would get the Oscar that year. And I wouldn't even know half of them. And I'd fall asleep three quarters through the show. But I was just so enamored by my mother's love for the films. And then that was the doorway into it. And so as I grew and I was able to watch more and more, I remember the first film we watched was The Princess Bride. And I was able to stay up past my bedtime and watch this movie. And it being so formative in my years. And as I was able to watch more of these movies, and it was really, It was really supporting, my mom and I's shared passion. I was able to see how magical it was to have the power of storytelling. Mm. I knew that there was a huge part of me that was able to escape, but even more so able to relate in stories outside of mine. And I might not have had all of the opportunities growing up financially, and there were a lot of limitations for me in my upbringing. And this was a way for me to step out of that in order to make anything real with make-believe. And I say, wow, people can do this. They can play make-believe and get paid for it. They can truly study the art of empathy and walk a mile in someone else's shoes, and that could be their job. Sign me up. So I remember having a very intense passion for it from a young age. And what got me into the industry was, I would say in high school, I was 17 years old. There was a radio interview, and it said, "Do you want to be a star? Come on down to the Radisson Hotel, Kalamazoo, Michigan." And I was like, "Man, be a star." She got me down there. She told me I had to wait till I was 17 or 18. She drove me down to this hotel in Little Kalamazoo, Michigan. I went in there and I auditioned and I made it to the finals in Detroit. I went there, I auditioned for more. And from there, I signed with my first modeling agency, which got me into the business. I began classes and I moved to LA at an early age and began my career then based off a radio commercial.
I love that. I love how you announce it. Oh my goodness, that's incredible. Okay, I'm super excited. Okay, so top that. Honey, it's on you. How did you get in and what was your, what was your entry point?
Did you say me?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's so funny. Shannon, something very similar. There was I want to say it was Barbizon or whatever, but it was in Chicago and I heard it too. And I was like, take me. This is my stepmother and my dad had her take me. And this particular day, it was I think after church or whatever. I don't know what my stomach was queasy or if this was just divine protection, because we'd gotten all the way through whatever to the level where they're like, okay, in order for you to make it, you got to spend all this money. It was a situation like that. And I was not feeling well throughout this entire process, but I want to be an actress, right? So I'm, you know, trying to fake it. Got on my little church clothes, my little hard bottom shoes. You know, I'm ready. I'm ready to be here, you know, to do it. So as the woman is talking to me, I just remember being like, excuse me. And I lifted up the tablecloth and threw up everywhere under the tablecloth. And I wiped my mouth on the tablecloth and came back and was like, now, what were you saying? So that entry point did not.
They're like, keep your money.
No, didn't happen. So I went to college.
Oh my God. Okay, so you went to college and then you kicked out.
I ended up going to Savannah College of Art and Design. I transferred in because by this time I had put all of that behind me. It was like, this is not a real job. I really need to figure out what is going to be a real job. You know what I mean? So long story short, I get into SCAD, I go to SCAD, I'm on the directing path. I come out of there and I drive cross country, move to Los Angeles, nowhere to live, no job, nothing. And things just started to fall into place. And I eventually, became like a production coordinator and then became, assistant to Bernie Mac, who's also a Chicagoan. One of the greatest comedians ever. And Bernie, I used to make him laugh so hard, was the one who told me to, you know, stop hiding and to, you know, really take a chance on myself and, you know, be in front of the camera. So that's what I did. I started training. I started doing sketch. I started studying at the Groundlings at Improv Olympic at UCB, started writing, doing all that stuff. And that was really how things started for me. Once I tested for Saturday Night Live and didn't get that, what I did was I then created my own sketch group. And it was all women. It was all Black women. As Elite Delta Force 3, EDF 3. We're on YouTube. It's like some old sketches on there or whatever. And that was just really how I was able to create and have a creative outlet while I was waiting for the industry to say yes to me. Because even if you have talent, you may not necessarily get the job or you may not necessarily get the yes. So in that time when I was waiting for, you know, some yeses, I was creating my own. So that was my start.
Cool. Oh, my goodness. What about you? That's Tiffany.
I just got to say, it's amazing because every time I do an interview with these ladies, I learn something a little new about them every time. It's beautiful. So, gosh, you know, there's always a couple of entry points. Mm-hmm. If you listen to the last time Deb interviewed me, I gave one that was a bit dark and deep when I was a sophomore in high school that really made me say yes to acting. But I'm going to start with a story a little bit beyond that. And that was when I decided to go to school for it. That is where I really learned, like, oh, okay, I have something here. And also I have something that's touching and affecting other people. And then once I left school, I had done a couple of internships and I had 3 months of savings, 3 months of savings. That's it. And I told my parents, I was like, I got 3 months. I got to do this on my own. I moved to Chicago because I heard they had theater. I had never even visited. I didn't do research or anything. I just knew New York and LA were too big for me. So heard there was theater in Chicago, had 3 months worth of savings to make it. And boy, when you put that pressure on yourself, because the last month came and that money was running out and I had not booked anything. And so things kind of shifted in gear. I could not go and hang out with friends. I told everybody, we ain't doing no more parties. We're not just kicking it. I have to really focus. And when that happened, relationships that I had built all of a sudden just showed up. So my entry point throughout this has truly been relationships. Somebody who knew me when I was an intern at the Milwaukee Rep, because she would come and have a drink at the bar when I was working there. She got me a job at Starbucks. It saved my life because it gave me a steady income and it gave me health insurance. And then somebody heard that Tiffany was in Chicago and they needed an understudy at Chicago Children's Theater, which pays really well for a new actor. And it was because I'd interned at the Milwaukee Rep, which has an excellent relationship. They know if you're an intern there, that you're going to work hard when you're on the stages. And that's literally how I got that job. So then I was employed from there. Even Reasonable Doubt, it was a good word of somebody that made them come back and relook at me and say, oh, she should come in for this role. And so that's where my entry point has been, the relationships and the business savviness of myself that has, because as Neff said, it's not always the most talented person that gets it. Yes, I am very talented, because you don't remain if you're not talented on our show. So there is talent that I have, but it was also the relationships that I built over time. And there was the me looking at myself as a business person of what do I need to do to position myself in the right spaces and places so that I can expand upon my art, so I can book that role or can create something that I'm interested in story-wise.
So interesting, isn't it? Isn't it so interesting when you, like you said, when you get to learn things about your friends, but also when you repeat them back, it kind of takes you back there a little bit, like Starbucks or this experience or, you know, Princess Bride or whatever it is. And it's a nice little reminder of how far we've come, but the road to how far you've come. I want to ask you, I ask people, like there's a lot of people that are listening that they're mission takers, right? Whatever it is, they're entrepreneurs, they've got nonprofits, like our audience is full of people that take the mission. I mean, the damn show is called Mission Accepted. So, you know, other than the occasional person that actually thought we were like, we went on missions around the world, like we were missionaries. the one person that showed up that was like, oh, this is not what this is. It's mostly people that are on a mission. What would you say to that person listening that was a critical piece for you staying on path, whatever that means? Let's start with you, Shannon. Like, what was the critical piece that made you, that you would leave somebody with thinking?
Well, as it pertains to our industry as storytellers, I would say, continue doing the work. Continue learning about people's stories. Continue being the best listener you can be and read. Continue reading. Because when you're informed by story, your bridge to empathy becomes much easier to travel. And it allows the work to come easier as well. So I think it's so important for us to be consciously open to the storytelling of life, because as storytellers, that's what we're informed by. We're informed by real life, and that's what the work is. And that's the trick to the work, because a lot of people, when they see the work, you can get caught in the work, which can become quite mechanical. And then you try to achieve something when you don't realize you already are that you're already informed by the things that you need to cultivate to become whatever character you need to be. So that would be the entry point for me, is being open to experiencing the world as the work and continue reading stories that will inform the stories that you get to tell.
Very cool. Very cool. Nefertari, what about yourself? What is that one thing that you would say has been the bridge for you, or the piece that either it was, you know, mindset or relationships, or what would you tell someone to make sure that they do in their world to be able to achieve success in your industry?
I think it's not just a one thing. It's not just like it's a recipe, if you will. It's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a lot of that. And a lot of perseverance is definitely one. There's a lot of the, as I said earlier, you're going to be told no far more than you will ever hear yes. So you really have to trust yourself. You really have to, as Shannon said, put in the work. I feel like learn the business, because as you learn the business, then you kind of make pivots and understand, okay, this is what's happening right now. It's not me. This is what's happening. How do I fall into maybe what they're looking for? But at the end of the day, you still have to really trust yourself, work on your instrument, and go to therapy.
And then, oh, people are?
Yeah.
That's right. Experts, mentors, counselors, and therapists. That's what I say. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Trust yourself and just keep going. Keep going. Yeah.
Tiffany, anything to add to that?
Yeah, definitely. The only thing I would add is finding your why. Why do you want to do this? If your why is fame and fortune, maybe you want to relook at that, because the disappointment, it's not going to be as fulfilling as you think it is. My personal mission is to expose the world one story at a time. And as I noted before, the other time Deb and I talked, it talks about where that came from, the power of story. That's what my mission is. So I challenge people to dig deep and ask why. There is something called the power of seven whys. So you take a look at yourself and say, why am I doing this? And then you ask yourself again, well, why am I doing that? And then you ask yourself, and you go, you keep on saying why, so you can really get to the truth in the heart of what it is that your desires are, and why are you doing this thing? And I think when you find that really deep why, it just makes everything sing. It gives everything purpose. It makes everything mission driven.
Wow.
All right, ladies, I'm going to kind of change the energy of the conversation. And if you know anything about me, and hopefully we'll get to know each other even more, I love music. I think it is one of the most powerful vibes, if not, I mean, there's some powerful vibes out there, but music, I think, is one that just has less issues around it, shall we say. No one isn't going to love you because you don't listen to the same kind of music as them. It's just music is music is music is music. So I'm going to ask you, if you were all going to three separate private islands and you had one suitcase and you could slide one album in, whether it's a song, whether, I know one, you're like, what? This is the hardest. Okay, look at, you know, you can come back and we can ask this again next week if you want, if it's easier, but you've got one album or one song or one artist that you could not imagine not listening to for the rest of your days, because it's you and your private island. Don't worry, I'll put a record player there. I've had a record player my whole life, and I'll make sure that you've got one waiting for you. So what's it going to be? I'm going to go Tiffany would hear you, because you have the less the face that has the less horror on it when I ask that question.
And I was hoping I would be last, because I'm like, I need them to put the things in I want, and so that I can have like the outlier
island anyway. So even if you all pick the same, you all be like, see, we are really sisters. Okay, so don't give it too much thought. What was one of the first ones that came to you? Like, what's your vibe?
Yep, Kes the Band. It's soca music. Kes the Band is the first thing that came to mind for me.
All right, very very cool. Nefertari, what about yourself?
This is probably the hardest question on the planet to answer. I'm just going to go with... I'm just going to go with Stevie Wonder.
Great. That's a good one to put in suitcase. Thank you, Nef.
I can
dance. I can dance and I can be like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Preach.
Okay, Shannon's got her hands in her head for those of you that are just listening.
You gotta understand, Shannon's a DJ.
Yeah, I know. I know, like, every poster in this room, every album in this room, like, if you saw the house, but you know what? It's okay. You can come back and I can ask you again next week. But for today, if you were packing today.
So we're going to qualify this for the first week on the private island. Now, since I thought about it, it's the island vibes. I mean, the first person that came to mind for me, and I don't know, it might even be cliche, but his music is so fueled by love. And I know almost every song by this man, I would have to say Bob Marley.
Yeah, I was like, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, because it's such that feel good vibe. But then there are so many other songs that I guess you could say are political. And I think they're so relevant right now in the world because of the unity that we need to achieve in the times of the current climate. And he brings me comfort.
Yeah.
And my son has been singing Bob since birth. He heard him in my belly. But, you know, Sade is going to have to be.
I thought for sure, I just bought her gorgeous double album, by the way, it's orange, but it's cool. It's very cool. Like, you know, so I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. Yeah, I'm with you on that. So, well, thank you for digging deep and answering that question. It's amazing to play with you ladies today. I want to talk a little bit to the audience. Look, do what you do best. That's share and that's comment and send in and follow these ladies. Everything will be in the show notes. You know how this works. Follow these ladies, cheer them on, watch the show, right? 5-star review the world. And if you think, I'd love to sit there, I have a story to tell, right? If you ask Shannon, she's going to tell you all have a story to tell. And there is a story. So if you want to sit and you want to have a story and have a conversation, we don't edit. So come on into the show. And if you want a stage and you want to come on to the show, the Women's Channel, please do. We are for women and those that support women. So basically women and cool dudes. If you hit one of those categories, you're welcome on our screen. So you know where to find us. It's not difficult. The website's my name. Not too far of a reach. Ladies, thank you so much for being with us today. I'm just going to say, is there anything else that you want to say in this wrap? You got anything going on you want people to cheer you on? Is there any wise final words? Is there anything you want to say?
I think just as you are moving through your day and when you come in contact with people, life is rough sometimes. And just to be kind, especially just right now, take a second and just be kind.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Any other final words? Or is that a wrap?
Karen, I saw you.
No, I'm just saying I second that. I think now is a really important time for us to be able to embrace each other. I think storytelling at art, is even more, it's always important, but right now it's extremely relevant. And I think that's a wonderful way to be heard. I think everyone wants to be heard and everyone wants to acknowledge. So let be acknowledged. So like Neff said, be kind and spread love. You know, if you see somebody and you're having wonderful thoughts about them, please share that. Please share that. And let's all connect with each other as best as we can. So we can bring some light to some pretty, pretty dark times.
Yeah. And I'm going to continue to echo that and just remind everyone that everyone is somebody's child somewhere. And so I am thinking about the many souls that have been lost, whether it's present day or past, and just continue to recognize the humanness in everyone. And if we lead with that, we're going to do a much better job than maybe the times are having right now. And if you need a little laugh, go to my vertical series, February 1st.
Well, that's it.
I'm feeling that care.
Comedy is such a, right? So, I'm going to do a plug for the 262 women that put their stories into our book. Because as you talk about storytelling, is like, there's some people that did a 12-word message to women. That's it. That's what I got to say today. And then there's 262 women in there from history to now that you can go read their stories. And I think stories are so critical. It gives you a piece. I think we have multiple stories inside, but when you put your story in print, it's such a powerful, because it doesn't come off print, right? It doesn't come off print. So 262 Women Braved Up. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. And you can go on to devdrummond.com and you can find it. But laughing. So when you were talking about comedy, I have listened to comedy every night before I go to bed. I'm going to say at least 20 years. And it is so powerful. Laughing is beyond the physiology of it. And then it just somehow removes all and brings joy. Like it really can. So you ladies bring a lot of joy and laughing and comedy, and I love it. Thank you for reminding us how beautiful it is to laugh.
Medicine,
doctor's medicine. All right, with that, you're the great audience. You know what to do. We'll see you here next week. And like we said, took you beyond the camera today. We talked about the show, and now you're thinking about the betterment of your life and how you can make others better. Check. All right. As always, be well and stay groovy. Bye for now.
Yeah. Thank you.